look at every candidate as a strong yes. Do this favor to yourself, and your whole perception of the candidate will change immediately, and you will try to help them during an interview.
My name is Katharina, and I'm the Community and Event Manager at eCulture, a company that is on a mission to shape the world of unbiased hiring. Welcome to the Oops, I'm Biased podcast.
On today's episode of the Oops, I'm Biased podcast, I have the pleasure to talk to Zanina Gatira. She is the senior recruiter at Miro, and she has been for the past 3 years. So she has seen Miro's large growth period. And now that they're slowing down, she had the time to speak to me about unbiased recruitment at Miro, what exactly Miro does to ensure that there is as minimal bias as possible creeping into their process. Spoiler alert, they do a lot. She has a lot of best practices to share in the end, so stick around for that. We're going to cover anything between why Zanina got into recruitment, how unbiased or sort of free of discrimination fits into that recruitment piece for her, why it's so important for Miro to be unbiased, what their process actually looks like, and why they put so much emphasis on the candidate's experience and treating the candidate like a 10, as she says. And on the other hand, the interviews itself and how they prepare for interviews, how many stages there are, how they work. So there's a lot to unpack there. We had an incredible conversation. I learned a lot. I hope you will too. So stick around until the end. Please also check out the resources that I linked below in the description. Miro has a lot that they also share publicly. So there's a lot to be learned from how they do recruitment in an unbiased way. So I hope you enjoy this episode. All right. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming Zanina Gatira on the podcast. Welcome, Zanina. It is so great to have you here today with me.
It's so great to be here as well. Thank you so much for inviting me. I have recently discovered your podcasts, and I am very enthusiastic to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. Well, now that you shared how you discovered us recently, well, I haven't discovered Miro recently. I have to be honest. I've been following along quite a long time. But I found you through a blog post that you wrote that I read on LinkedIn, which was called How Miro Avoids Bias in Hiring and in Interviews. And I was very intrigued to see what Miro does, and what you wrote was very insightful. We're going to go into that today because the topic of today's episode is unbiased recruitment. I know that you know a lot about this, and I think you're going to enlighten our listeners on everything that is your expertise on that. But I would love to throw it over to you for you to give us a quick introduction to yourself and how you connect to unbiased recruitment and that topic
yes.
at large.
Gladly. So I'm a recruiter for almost 10 years in my career. I have worked in small startups, larger corporations, and of course, recruitment agencies. My passion for unbiased recruitment actually originated even from the early stages of my studies. When I identified the need for more objective selection of the talent in a company. So during my MBA in human resources management, I had my thesis actually focused on unbiased, unconscious bias. Of course, it was a thesis more on qualitative data back in the days in discrimination upon recruitment. So later on, in my career, I discovered firsthand that I have unconscious biases myself. So as the, let's say, the key holder of candidates entering an organization, I dug deeper into the how we can make the hiring process a safe, a fair, and objective means for all candidates. And of course, to help companies to find the right talent. So this is my passion for unbiased recruitment.
Yeah, Super interesting. I rarely talk to recruiters on this podcast, especially who have an educational background in recruitment and HR. I think you might be the first one. So you definitely have an academic, but also then professional and applied background in recruitment, which, I think, well, sets you up quite well for the topic at hand, I suppose.
Indeed. We are not that many in the industry.
I can imagine. Well, you already touched a little bit on the one hand, why unbiased recruitment is so important to you specifically. How did discrimination upon recruitment come up for you, and why did you want to pursue that professionally?
So my studies were mainly in human resources management. And back in the days, there was a course only for recruitment, actually, and selection of personnel, if that was the name, if I remember the name correctly, of the course. So as I was going through the all the books at the time, which was quite some time ago, human resources and recruitment was not a big focus in the industries back then. So I started wondering by reading all these books and discussing with my professors at the time, like, how can we have the access to a more diverse talent? How can we give equal opportunities to everyone? And of course, how can we have like a more objective and fair selection process in the days? I also do come from a country. I come from Greece, where getting a job has not always been very based on objective factors. So that intrigued me a lot back in the days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine that that alone sparks a discussion. But very interesting that, your journey with this started way before Miro. I would love to now jump into, your current position. You've been with Miro quite a few years already. You've seen them grow. You've grown them, arguably, as it says on your LinkedIn profile as well, which I find quite fitting. Why do you think unbiased recruitment is so important for Miro? And where do you see your position in this effort?
Yes. So let me start with an introduction first. Yes, I did join Miro back in January of 2020. The team was quite small globally at the time. Since then, we have grown almost 10 times more. And yes, I have also contributed in this growth. And we are a software company, a fast-paced environment, a very innovative organization. So we always aim for diverse talent. We do believe that diverse talent can bring more innovation. Specifically, the unbiased recruitment process helps Miro to build a diverse and inclusive workforce. Now, the diversity brings together individuals from different perspectives, from different backgrounds and experiences. And that only can lead to a more creative solutions, improve innovation, and of course, a better understanding of a wide range of our customer needs, because this is top of mind for us. We need to have a product that its value proposition for our customer is very high. So when recruitment processes are biased, the organizations, without intention, of course, they limit their talent pool by favoring certain groups or backgrounds. So unbiased recruitment widens this pool of talent. And of course, in our case, that allows Miro to tap into a broader range of skills and qualifications. So we do believe that the more diverse workforce you have in the company, you can have more creative problem solving and innovation. When different perspectives are combined, new solutions and new approaches are more likely to emerge. which is crucial for a technology company like Miro. I think it's also connected to the industry that we are in.
Yeah. So if I can summarize what you just said, it's definitely important for the diversity aspect. So really looking at making sure that you have a diverse workforce to bring in those innovative and creative perspectives. But I also hear you say, well, it is a sort of competitive advantage in the technology industry to be diverse. Is that correct?
Yes, that is 100% correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I talk a lot about, different industries having different needs. I think the tech industry has very specific competition in terms of, well, that there is a lot of tech companies out there, but only a few to me, and what we've seen at eCulture, only a few really stick out. And I think Miro is such a wonderful example of growing at such a fast rate, but doing it in a way that is, yes, on the one hand unbiased, but also really promoting diversity, which those two are interlinked very, very closely, I think.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And of course, we love competition. When you have healthy competition, this is only when you can thrive and you can push yourself to be better for your customers.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderfully said. I think competition brings out the best in people. Sometimes it brings out the worst. But in this way, it's definitely a race to the top of who has the best process.
It is in our hands, I guess, to make it a healthy competition.
Yeah, yeah, I see that. Walk me through Miro's recruitment process, maybe also painting a bit of a picture of what it used to be like and what you've actually grown it out to be and made it out to be now.
Yes, that's a great question. So here at Miro, one of our main values actually is iteration. So we don't think that we're perfect. We recognize our mistakes and we always want to get better. So we learn and we drive change. So you will see all of our processes, including the recruitment process, to have been iterated multiple times since I joined Miro. Now, currently, the whole interview process will include, let's say, roughly 5 to 6 rounds. Of course, that can vary per position. And we give to the candidates the chance to meet with various people from their future team, with various key stakeholders, and of course, with leadership of Miro. So the candidates, they start with their application. The application goes through a selection process one by one, not using AI, with our recruiters or our sourcers. And if they are selected, they will have the chance to meet with the recruiter. The recruiter will ask about relevant skills and experience. What are the motivations? What is the candidate looking for? And of course, this conversation allows the candidates to learn more about the role and the Miro's culture. Now, if they are successful to this one, they will have the chance to meet with the hiring manager, their future direct manager. In this conversation, they will dig deeper into the skills and experience, and of course, the overview of the team and the expectations of the position. After this, there are high chances that there is a skills assessment depending on the position. That can be like a case study. It can be a test, again, depending on the position itself. And then they will have the chance to meet with people from their team and people from different teams that they will have to collaborate closely with in the future. So here at Miro, we also value a lot the cross-functional collaboration. We are using agile ways of working. So you will see so many teams from different backgrounds and different perspectives working for the same goal. And of course, the last conversation will be with the leader or the executive, as you want to say who is usually the head of the department, the leader of the sub department. So, and the last step, it will be our decision on whether we extend an offer or not.
Yeah. Sounds like a very, well, on the one hand, hands-on approach in recruitment. I think there is a lot of touch points that that are had in this. And it sounds like it's a very time-intensive process. So really taking care of making sure that all of the key stakeholders are being included. That's what it sounds like to me, and that the candidate also gets a full picture of what it would look like to work at Mero.
Exactly. And actually, this is the differentiator here, because candidates, they shouldn't be looking this interview process only on one side, on if the company thinks that they are good for the role. We are trying to give them opportunities to discover more and more about this position, the ways that we work internally, the strategy and the vision of the company and this product. So we give them also chances to see if they actually like it to work here, because it's one thing to read the job description and another one to actually meet the people that you will spend quite some time of your day working with.
Yeah. I think that is a very different approach than we used to see. I think with the candidate-driven market that we're in now, I think lots of companies are shifting their perspective into, well, we also need to make sure that the candidate gets a full picture of who we are. But that can be quite daunting, quite vulnerable for companies who might not have it all figured out, who might struggle a little bit in one or the other department.
Yeah, so we don't have anything to hide. We are an open organization, and maybe we can discuss that later on in the conversation. We are preparing the candidates for what to expect. We're very open with that. We give them tips. We explain all the details. There's nothing to be hidden. And actually, this is for us one specific way to show that we are open, inclusive, and we are up for diversity and equity. And we have moved to a more hands-on recruitment. And I didn't mention that in all these stages that I told you just before, there is always a feedback session after that. There is always a prep call to share the focus areas of the conversation, tips on how to answer interview questions and everything. So that hands-on approach in recruitment actually came from feedback from the candidates. And that was the iteration that we did. So actually, this is a common constant feedback in the market these days, that the candidates, they want to know what to expect. They don't need any surprises. They want to be given the chance to showcase their best self in their interview. So we took that feedback in and we tried to incorporate that into our process.
Yeah. Very interesting approach, and I think such a wonderful example of what you said, the iterative approach that you have. I think it's a very interesting solution to offering equal opportunities for every candidate to, as you say as well, and we discussed this in our introduction call, which I found so enlightening. You say, well, we treat every candidate as a 10. So we yes. go from the assumption yes. of them being a good fit. Could you explain a little more how that fits into the picture of being hands-on?
Yes. So every candidate is a strong yes, or a perfect 10, if you wish. So you always start with handling candidates as if they are exactly what you're looking for. And then use many steps of the interview process to identify whether that's ultimately true or not. So by providing all this information in advance to candidates, as mentioned above, and preparing them on what to expect and how to show their best self, it is a great step to remove unconscious bias. So everybody starts from the same base. Everybody has the same information. And of course, they can do whatever they can or want with this information. The key here is how you use this piece of information in your favor during this interview steps.
Yeah. My assumption was when we first talked about this, that wouldn't more interaction also mean more bias? Because, well, humans are inherently flawed, inherently biased in different ways. That is just how our brains work. But the way that you're describing it, and maybe you can expand a little bit on that as well, is that by giving everyone the same information, then you're taking out the bias. Is that correct?
Yes, because we want to offer fair chances to everyone. We don't want to favor some candidates and to less favor some others. So we have agreed that every candidate will get the same preparation and the same treatment from Miro and the hiring team of Miro. So we start with this base. And these interactions, as I mentioned, came from actually requests of the candidates. Mm-hmm. We identified that they need more feedback. They need more tips for their interviews. They need to understand what is coming. And we said, okay, we can do that. We also think this is fair. So we have prepared a lot of materials to share with them and to prepare them for the jobs, specifically for their roles, but also for the company, the product, the culture, the values of the company. So everybody has the same information. And we also think that can help us with diversity and inclusion, and at the same time remove some of the biases.
Yeah, very very refreshing approach, I think, to recruitment. Yeah. Now we're on the topic of recruitment marketing. I think Miro is well known for understanding their candidates, understanding what they need, as you say, really acting on that feedback. How important is recruitment marketing for Miro, and how does that extensive content library, I would want to call it, for candidates play into that and the D&I conversation?
Yes. So as I mentioned, our emphasis on this extensive content, as you say, and all the resources for recruitment marketing, not only help our potential candidates to better understand our hiring process, but also contributes to a more diverse and inclusive talent pool. Now, this approach actually aligns with our values, our positively impacts our brand image, but also ensures that we are fostering an environment where all individuals are encouraged to thrive, basically. And this approach serves several essential purposes and has a notable impact on diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. So at the same time, the transparency and the inclusivity fosters in our hiring process, making it more accessible to all candidates, basically. This inclusivity demonstrates our commitment to them, that we are treating them fairly regardless of their background or identity. And of course, our content provides a valuable resource for candidates, offering those insights, guidance on what to expect. And of course, this education is crucial in helping candidates, including those from underrepresented groups, if you want, to feel more confident and more prepared.
Yeah, such a great impact that it has, not only on the equal opportunity side, but also on the inclusion side for underrepresented groups. Because as we know, there is a gap in terms of confidence when it comes to gender. Women are much less likely to apply to a position where they fill maybe 7 out of 10 requirements, instead of men more likely being having less requirements checked off on their boxes, but they would still apply. So that is only one example, I guess, for why it is so important to be transparent.
Yes, and you know, every interview by default is a stressful situation. So we always take into consideration and we always give the benefit of the doubt that this is a stressful 30, 45 minutes of conversation for the candidates. So if the interviewers are one time stressed and nervous about this conversation, imagine that the candidates, they are 10 times more. So with everything that we do here at Miro, we are trying to take off as much as possible of this stress and nervousness because we want them to feel prepared for this conversation.
Yeah. Another one on the topic of interviews, and I think... the focus at Miro is really, really the interviews, making sure that those, well, from both sides give the best chances for this to be successful. How do you prep not only the recruiters, but also the hiring managers for any interview, but mainly interviews where it is about values, where it is about those sorts of things that you can't really measure or see or have hard data on?
We are working very hard on this. This has been top of mind again from day one at Miro, and we keep iterating until today. So let me start with the values that you mentioned. So Miro's culture is well defined by four values, and these four values, we translate them, if you want, to behaviors. And these behaviors, they are being actually translated into specific interview questions. So, for example, if I take the example of the collaboration value, we have some behaviors that they, let's say, define this value. And each one of them is translated into specific interview questions. So our values interviews, our values interviewers, they have these specific questions in front of them. And they do write the answers of the candidates. So it's a very structured approach that we're taking. And now if we take to if we take the conversation to the training that you asked me, everybody's getting a training here at Miro. If you are a manager, if you are member of the panel, of the interview panel, of the team interviews, as we call them. So first of all, we start with the awareness and with training. So we start with the awareness that everybody has unconscious biases. Okay. We take that as a granted. And we try to help them discover this. So this is what the training starts. And then by recognizing that everybody has unconscious biases, we start working on educating them, educating actually their minds to think and assess candidates differently. We have trainings for that. So every new member at Miro, maybe not from day one, but is the as soon as we group them, group a few new joiners, they go through these interviews, actually.
Wow. So it doesn't matter if they're currently hiring, if they're in their TA or recruitment team, everyone gets an unbiased.
It's highly likely that someone will hire at Miro if they join the company at some point. Yes.
Oh, I see. Interesting. That might be, a question that's not on the list, and I hope you permit me asking it, but I'm very intrigued by the fact that when you joined, it was quite a compact team. Now you've grown so much. How has that journey been? Because I can imagine that if you have a very high hiring target, year over year, quarter over quarter, however you measure that, how can you still stay structured, making sure that hiring managers and everyone in the interview panel has that training, has that awareness? How do you keep on track of that, and how do you stay unbiased in such a quick growth?
Let me start by saying, by mentioning a disclaimer. Everybody makes mistakes, and we also might have made mistakes. But we are very good at identifying identifying our mistakes and correcting them and moving forward and creating better practices. So I can tell you that there has been a time at Miro that we were hiring, and I remember myself and my colleagues being on autopilot. It was hire after hire after hire. Yes, I'm not going to lie. There were months that we were hiring so many people, the new joiners, they were hundreds in all of our hubs globally. But I think that now we have moved to a more stable pace of growth. We're not anymore the rocket ship that we were like 2 and 3 years ago. And I would say thankfully, because actually that gave us the opportunity and the time to go through these processes, to work better on what we can do better for us, for our candidates, and for the company. So now that we have stabilized a little bit the pace of the growth, we are iterating on everything. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's been a roller coaster, but we can only do better. We cannot go back.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful answer. I'm wondering now if you, on the whole, feel like it needs a slowing down period to be able to really iron out and make sure that your processes are structured, that you have unbiased check marks in every step of the way. Does it need that slowing down to be able to really put that into place, or can it be during a period of high growth?
No, it can also be during the period of the high growth. And actually, this is when we made most of our iterations, during the high growth. What I mean now is that we are focusing on more holistic approach. At that time, maybe we were just fixing here and there what we said was not working very well. And maybe we didn't have time to go through into too many details to see all the factors and also to see all the tools that we can use in the market and assess which ones are best for our goal. We did a lot of iterations. We always had program managers and recruitment enablement since day one. At Miro, even though we were a very small team, we always paid attention that we wanted to build something from scratch, but something of a really good quality, of an organization of recruitment with very good quality. What I'm trying to tell you is that it's not that we made all the changes only the past 6 months that we slowed down the hiring. But it's been happening constantly. But right now, we just can take one step back, see the whole process, get more feedback from our candidates, assess this feedback one by one, and try to see where we can improve.
Yeah, I suppose it's just part of the iterative process that you just keep improving, fixing little things that you might still have missed. Yeah. There's new feedback that comes up. It's never done, as you said at the top of the episode. So I think it's such a great balance to strike between keeping that iterative process going for these little fixes, but then again, as you say, sitting back a little bit and looking, evaluating what's worked, where you've grown to in that process, and really, really seeing and reflecting on what's happened. I think you've struck that balance quite well, as you explain it, I think.
And I cannot really describe you how we are doing this, because as I told you, it's iteration is another value of Miro, actually. So it is in our DNA to do it. This is how we do our jobs in the company.
Yeah. So really made sure that it is written in stone, set in stone, the values to be able to not only have it apply to new joiners, but really about how the processes are structured.
Yes.
Sort of looking at the whole picture in itself. Very, self-reflective, I would say, the process itself.
Yes.
Talking about all of what Miro has been through in terms of that high growth in such a short amount of time, I'm sure there must have been moments where you think back now on and think, oh, could have done things differently, learned a lot from it looking back. Could you walk me through some of those moments or things that you've learned the most from?
Yes, so specifically to bias and unconscious bias, there have been times that I was under the impression that the interviewers or the hiring manager or even myself, I am biased against a specific candidate. Whereas that was not the problem. The problem was that we were not aligned on the job profile. We were not aligned on what we were looking for, what kind of skills and experiences we are looking for this specific position. So if I have learned something, is that alignment comes first. Spend more time in aligning the job profile between the hiring manager, the org leader, the interviewers, the recruiter. That will save time. And of course, you will have the best results and great talent to hire. So sometimes it's not unconscious bias. It's not even conscious bias that exists, but it's misalignment within the hiring team.
It's very interesting what you say, because I think a lot of what we talk about on this podcast is that unconscious bias is so subtle. Sometimes it can influence so many decisions without you even knowing. This is sort of the opposite example where you were so in tune with being aware about unconscious bias that you missed another part that's really important. Can you walk me through how you realized that it was the misalignment and what exactly you do now to really reach that alignment before a job goes live even?
It was the debriefs. This is where I found out. So I have heard comments from interviewers saying, oh, but this candidate doesn't have, software industry experience. And then I'm like, but that was not a requirement for the role. So at first, when seeing this comment, I thought, okay, maybe this person only values candidates that come from that industry. But actually, it was the lack of knowledge. It was the ignorance of the interviewer of what we were looking for, of what were the requirements, what were, let's say, the hard skills, what were the soft skills, and what we could trade off in terms of when hiring a new member in the team. So what we made sure is that we are doing a very strong kickoff document that has all these details. We are either live synchronously or asynchronously. We inform of the job profile that we're looking for all of our interviewers. And of course, we give them specific interview questions that help them assess as better as possible the candidates. So we are trying to not bring this alignment at the end, at the debrief, but we're trying to bring this alignment in the beginning before we start interviewing so that we don't have any surprises at the end.
Yeah. And how do you get to that? You said there's hard requirements in terms of hard skills, soft skills, and then sort of a trade-off where you can see, okay, yeah, nice to have. How do you reach that list?
Oh, of course, that list comes from the team, from the hiring manager, their manager. So that list comes from there. But of course, they always partner with a recruiter in order to help them, let's say, edit what they have given us, try to make it more specific, because sometimes we receive quite vague requirements. So we're trying to make them as specific as possible. And actually, we challenge them. Like, so is this a must have? Is this a nice to have? Please elaborate on what good understanding of this X tool means. Like, what is the level of expertise that you're looking for? So as more specific as we go, in the beginning, the better we can train and educate the rest of the team to interview better. And then only then we can identify if we are listening a comment of unconscious bias or is this a misalignment comment.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy you brought up the fact that it's not always sort of a one-to-one copy paste what the hiring manager or the hiring team sends in, because I think that is what a lot of recruiters in our community struggle with, that they say, well, either the hiring manager sends me, as you say, three bullet points that are so vague that I don't even know how to write a vacancy out of that, or it's a laundry list of things that they would like to see because someone in their team left had all of those. They would love to replace that exact one. And then you have the 15 must-haves on that list where then it's impossible almost to hire for that. So I'm glad that Miro also, recruiters at Miro also push back and say, well, let's just get clarity on this before we go forward.
Definitely. Of course, we also provide them with market insights, data from the market, pipelines of candidates. We are, let's say, their eyes, the hiring manager's eyes to the market, what is out there, what they can trade off, what not. So we are also providing them with data and insights in order to make these decisions about the job profiles.
In that way, the recruiters are definitely the quality assurance of being unbiased, so that a vacancy doesn't get out that is already riddled with bias, what we're looking for in terms of similarity bias, what have you.
Yeah. Very well said. Very well said.
All right. Well, thank you so much for elaborating on that. I think it's such a fresh perspective on where things can go wrong. It's not always bias. It can be, but it doesn't have to. And there's so much, there can be so much lost between in transit from one team to the next in what pertains to misalignment. So thank you so much for elaborating on that. Now, we've already come to my last question for you. This time has flown by. Could have listened to you explain everything so much longer. What are some best practices that you can share with fellow recruiters that you've taken away from, well, seeing your own career, maybe what you've seen work well at Miro or any other company that recruiters can implement maybe tomorrow even? For a more unbiased process at their own company?
Yes. So with the fear of repeating myself, I will definitely start with awareness and training, not only to recruiters, not only, and I'm differentiating recruiters with interviewers because recruiters are doing interviews as a job. This is what we are taught to do. And this is where we have high skills in this. Whereas when you see like a product marketing manager or a software engineer, that's not their job to do interviews. So this is a skill that they can develop. So with awareness and training to everybody being involved in an interview process, this is when you can eliminate as much as possible, again, because we cannot go to zero, but as much as possible, the unconscious bias. Second of all, another best practice that I would say is that look at every candidate as a strong yes. Do this favor to yourself and your whole perception of the candidate will change immediately, and you will try to help them during an interview to bring their best self. Yes, your goal is to gather as much evidence from the candidate during the interview, but give them the chance to be able to give you this evidence. Ask them follow-up questions. Try to take the nervousness away of this conversation as much as possible. And of course, if only then you don't have what you're looking for, yes, that might lead to a rejection of the candidate. But before that, try to treat them as a perfect 10. Another tip that I would share is actually one of my favorites, which is the behavioral interview questions, like the evidence-based interview questions. Historically, they have been proved that tapping into a candidate's past experience helped them to provide us with evidence that proves that they're the right person for this job. So hypothetical questions like, what would you do in this scenario, not always give us the results that we're looking for. Yes, we might use these questions if you don't have 100% the exact past experience for what we're looking for to fill in. And we might use them, but very cautious with cautiousness. We are just trying to eliminate them as much as possible. And my last and most, important one is to introduce debriefs. So using debriefs eliminates the group thinking or, you know, this dangerous bias that can cause unpleasant outcomes. So every interviewer, they should fill in their evaluation form or their scorecard or their notes based on the focus areas that they have been chosen to focus and on the skills matrix actually designed prior to opening the hiring process. So lock these answers. They said yes or no and why. Lock these answers and then bring everybody in one room to discuss their findings and to discuss their final assessment and actually have the hiring manager talk last. Don't allow the hiring manager to express their opinion in the beginning of the call. Let the rest of the team say if they would hire this candidate, yes or no, and why. And so try to use all these best practices, because I think each one of the tips that I just mentioned, they can lead to a good result.
Yeah. The last one, I really liked how you broke this sort of apart in little pieces. What it definitely limits is, as you say, conformity bias, feeling like, well, we're all of a sudden we're all the same.
Yes.
We're all of the same opinion. And it also limits authority bias, right? If you have hiring managers speak last, they have the most decision-making power in that room. If they speak last, then everyone feels free to really share their perspective on it. You mentioned a lot of other good things, and I'd love to tap into those. Maybe we can do a follow-up or a link to some resources that you probably have on Miro's website. But the matrix that you talked about, sort of that skills matrix, scoring people on, okay, where do they lie? Focus areas, I love that idea of you focus on this, and then we give it a pass and a fail. And the reason, logging that reason, I think is very important. So there was a lot in that last one, but please go ahead.
Yeah, let me add another one. And in the debrief, the recruiter's job is actually a facilitator, but also someone who challenges the evidence. Like if someone expressed their assessment for a focus area that it was not assigned to them, then they shouldn't share their opinion to the group. So we have very separate focus areas for a reason behind that, because everybody is an expert in their field. So actually this is why you have the recruiter there to make sure that the whole process is being followed by the book.
Yeah, what a great addition to have the recruiter being facilitator and challenger. Such an important role in that whole, well, just in that room as everyone connects with each other and has those different areas of expertise as well.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining me for this conversation, Zanina. It was a pleasure to talk to you. I learned so much. I think that our audience also did. And I really, really hope that you enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, it was my first podcast and I enjoyed it 100%. I am so sad that it's over, to be honest with you. I could talk to you for more hours, especially for a topic that I'm so passionate about.
Yeah, and we definitely share that. I could not agree more. I think there's so many more best practices that we could have tapped into, so much more to learn from you, to learn from Miro and how Miro does things. Very happy that we could showcase your incredible work and how much love and energy I can tell that you put into this. So thank you for saying yes to this invitation. And for everyone who listened today, thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much for tuning in again. If you are new to this podcast, which you might be, welcome. This is the Oops, I'm Biased podcast. If you're not a new listener, do check in 2 weeks again. We are releasing a new episode in 2 weeks. Please follow Zanina on LinkedIn. She has lots of interesting resources and posts that she shares. Do check out Miro if you haven't already. There is a plethora of resources. I'll link some below together with the blog post that I mentioned at the top of the episode. And I hope to see you in the next one. Thank you so much. Bye.